can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am.
Welcome back to the Junks. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We'll get to our guest in just a bit. It's Rick Snyder, 106.7 The Fan columnist. First, we're going to deal out the hole cards and the flop of the poker hand you need to keep track of throughout the hour. If you have the winning hand, if you can ID the winning hand at the end of the hour, we will prompt you to call. And if you're correct, you're going to win a pair of tickets. Front row to see OAR and Dispatch Summer Tour 2022 coming to Merriweather Post August 26th.
That's awesome.
That is Jason shuffling the deck. He's about to deal out hole cards and the flop.
I'm doing the flop too.
Yeah, you're doing both here.
All right, those are your hole cards.
All right, my hole cards. Let's see. I can show these to the camera. We have the 10 of clubs.
Poopy.
We have 8 of hearts. 10 of clubs, 8 of hearts. These are your hole cards, not your hold cards.
Even though you are holding them.
I am holding them, but they're your hole cards with an E.
I burned it.
Burn the first card, and now here comes the flop. Flop is 5 of spades, 9 of spades, 9 of diamonds.
Well, you got some action there.
Again, your flop is 5 of spades, 9 of spades, 9 of diamonds, 10-8 are your hole cards. Keep track of that. We will give you the turn in the river later in the hour for your chance to win front row tickets to go see OAR.
Don't fold. Keep listening.
Yes. You want to hold onto your hand. Don't throw it into the muck. All right. Now we welcome in on the BetQL guest hotline our friend Rick Snyder, 106.7 The Fan columnist. He's been covering the Redskins / Washington football team / Commanders for many, many years, and we welcome him in. What's up, Rick? Good morning.
This is why I always keep aces up my sleeve. You never know when you need them.
Yeah, you can certainly use them at this point.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're going for a straight, but what do I know?
Yeah, it could be. That could be the case. Rick, one of your latest videos is the fact that Jahan Dotson appears to be already the number 2 wideout on the depth chart at this point. Talk about his performance throughout training camp, how he's going to impact this offense, and looks like the guy that Carson Wentz is leaning on, at least at this point, through training camp.
Yeah, I mean, the first-round pick comes in, I thought, number 3, because you're thinking Samuel is going to be healthy and all that. And it's not that Samuel isn't, but he's not in football condition for some reason. Something's going on there. So Dotson comes to, and he's earned it because he's looked very good in practice. He has great hands, smart kid. I loved an answer yesterday by him when he talked about how the coach was teaching him how to turn his hand during a catch. That's such a minute thing, and yet, you know, he's 22 years old. He says, I'm a kid, I'm learning. But yeah, how long has he been catching balls? And yet he's willing to learn something so minute as a technique that really shows me a lot of maturity.
Rick, what do you think of my theory that Scott Turner has basically had to drag Ron Rivera almost kicking and screaming into running a modern offense in the NFL to try to get away from, you know, your knockdown, drag out 17-10 type defensive centric wins? Like, I think Scott Turner is getting through to Ron that you got to score points to win in the NFL in 2022. You can't get away with just scoring 20 points per game. Does my theory hold water to you?
Yeah, the first 2 years, they were really more defensive-oriented, and it didn't work. So I guess they're figuring, well, all right, let's try it the other way. Because last year they got Fitzpatrick. Okay, what in the world made you think he was going to be something for you? And, you know, got hurt. Wentz is an upgrade. You know, he's not a killer, but he's an upgrade. So I think they've decided, and they spent a first-round pick on a receiver, and they're doing things there. So I guess they decided, let's try and move on the other side of the ball. So, yeah, I mean, I would say he was more of a defensive coach. Now it's more of a, I don't want to say desperate, but, you know, it's year 3. You got to win more than 7 games. So, otherwise, you know, that coaching change this week really showed me something.
Did you, is anybody else impressing you at receiver besides Dotson? Obviously, McLaurin's legit, but Dotson, I just don't love the depth just because they just don't have a lot of proven guys behind the top 3. But anybody out in camp impressing you?
I think Dyami Brown's going to improve this year. I could see a definitely second-year growth by him. You know, Cam is always Cam. You know, he's reliable. I'm always surprised Cam doesn't get more chances for some reason. Just doesn't. You know, I like the tight end, Cole Turner. Like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to have a good year for them. I think he'll end up with the leading tight end receiving numbers. And, you know, I think they're just going to spread the ball as much. If they stay healthy, they have plenty of options. And I like Brian Robinson a lot. You know, they're trying to throw to him out of the backfield just to make sure he had good hands. Love him as a runner, man. He's a freight train going through people.
Mm-hmm.
So this offense has, you know, potentially some. Now, can the offensive line hold up right? We'll see. You know, this is, you know, unfortunately, the preseason Ron treats as a throwaway, so you can't tell anything. So we're still going to go into opening day wondering what they can do.
Back to the coaching change. What did it mean to you?
Well, you know, people ask me all the time, would Rivera fire Scott Turner or Jack Del Rio, you know, to get off to a bad start? And I always said no. No, he's, you know, he's loyal to these guys and all. Well, he just cut a coach he's been with for 12 years, you know, and why? I mean, I've never seen an assistant coach fire like this in August.
Right.
And it's said, well, they wanted to get a new vibe. They wanted to get new things. I guess. I don't know of anything to happen that would have caused this. But that's a big surprise. And so if you can do that, you can also get rid of the other guys. I think the whole coaching staff suddenly looks up to go. You know, tomorrow's not promised if you can't deliver. And I could see a change now. If he's willing to cut Mills, he might be willing to do the other guys if they stumble at the start. They shouldn't, but they could.
Mm. Yeah, Rick, I said yesterday, this is the shot across the bow for Jack Del Rio. That if this isn't a top, I don't know,
12,
what's a good number?
It's gotta be
top 10
to 12.
12-ish defense, like if he doesn't put up those sorts of numbers, that he could get his pink slip too.
I could see it. I mean, you always need a fall guy if things go bad. So he would be the natural on there. He's not, you know, he's not really produced in the 2 years. I'm really surprised his defenses aren't more aggressive on there. The front line does not produce as well, so you get rid of that coach. They've got the talent. There's no doubt they should be an upper half defense in this league. So sure. And if the season goes, you know, at the end, yeah, I could see definitely him going and, you know, Ron gets a fourth year. I mean, how many times have we seen this kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
The hard part is if you cut your defensive coordinator and your coaching staff knows they're on a last year prove it deal, who do you bring in that's going to be willing to take that's any good? You know, you get the desperate coaches to come in for a 1 year hoping there's more. So it's not always a cure all, but if you go 3 years without it with this defense, then, you know, you've got to try new things.
Well, I said yesterday, Rick, I mean, now the first, look, and this is what we were hearing. This wasn't Ron's decision. Ron didn't want to fire his buddy who's been on the staff for 11 years. He loves that guy. But the players didn't. The defensive line didn't. And they didn't get along. And this was last year, too. This started last year. So the fact that he brought him in knowing that they didn't get along and there was a personality conflict, it was kind of shocking. Because like you said, you never see position coaches fired 2 weeks into camp. So now this first-round laden defensive line, they got to prove it. They got to prove they're worth the first-round picks. Now that guy's out. That's what you wanted. Now you got to go out and prove it and show that you guys were worth the first-round picks. Go out and be a great unit like you're supposed to be.
Yeah, or else you don't re-sign Daron Payne.
Right.
I don't know what you do with Sweat. I mean, they are all proven. I mean, Jonathan Allen's the only one there with a long-term deal. And Chase has to come back and prove last year was was an aberration. I mean, sometimes assistant coaches don't get along with players. I could tell you plenty of those instances.
Yep.
I mean, LeVar hated his guy. You know, there's a lot of times that they clash.
Yep.
But, you know, when you're underperforming too, I guess you had to make the move, but I was really surprised by it. I mean, the guy had just been let to go over to the Hall of Fame for his father induction and then come back and they did this. I'm like, wow, this was very out of character.
Talking to Rick Snyder, columnist for 106.7 The Fan. Check out his columns at thefandc.com. All right, what do your eyes tell you about Carson Wentz so far? We've heard different reports, but what has Rick Snyder seen?
See, I'm not as judgmental on him as a lot of people are. I mean, he's missed a lot of passes, but what I have seen him throughout the spring do is he's trying to fine-tune. He's trying to develop certain things. It's like he's going to, instead of anybody can do a one-on-one camp and pitch and catch. but he's trying to go to the grad level courses where you're trying to do some unique things and you can experiment on a practice field. So it's not to say every throw was great and every, you know, but he's trying to do some things now. And so I don't worry about miscues there. Now, show me against the first couple of weeks, I might see something different. But I see a lot of the criticism is not looking at what he's trying to do on this. But like I said, not every throw is perfect either. But I excuse some of what's going on because I see what he's trying to do in the end is fine-tune what he's trying with different players.
Rick, we actually heard Dan Snyder speak yesterday as he was trying to procure a license for a sports book at FedEx Field. What were some of your takeaways from the audio? The one that jumped out at me, or at least one or two, was he said the stadium has been dramatically upgraded. That raised my eyebrow. And the fact that he's expecting big-time attendance this fall at FedEx Field.
Yeah, I think he said 22 times in about a minute. And people don't realize this. Dan Snyder, to me, is really an introvert who does not like to talk to people when he doesn't control the narrative.
Right.
You know, and that showed very much painfully there. I'd love to hear that 10 hours with Congress. That would be some, you know, I can't wait to see the transcript on that. But he's not good when he doesn't control things like that. I thought he had a pretty poor response and everything. But it looked like, just watching the video, that he had a pretty friendly crowd in front of him. You know, I guess they got new duct tape on that rail that broke, so that's an upgrade. You know, none of the pipes are going to break and spew stuff. I mean, there's only so much you're going to do to this place because you're hoping to leave in 5 years. So why would you put a lot? They did put a new field in again after having a monster truck rally and all on the grass. I mean, good Lord, I guess yesterday rained it pretty well, but there's nothing dramatic that you're going to walk in there and go, wow. You know, I haven't been in lately. I haven't been in since the spring. But, nah, it's just talk. And big crowds, well, maybe visiting fans are going to show up in mass this year.
Rick, thanks as always for the time. It's Rick Snyder, 106.7 The Fan columnist. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. See you.
Yep.
See you, bro.
When we come back, we will deal out the turn card for the poker hand you're keeping track of throughout the hour for your chance to win OAR tickets, and we will undertake the Cologne Challenge. We're going to bring in Karina from The Drive. She's going to be our celebrity judge. Who's got the best smelling cologne? We're doing that bit next on The Fan. Coming up in just about 40 minutes, we'll get back into the NFL with Ross Tucker, NFL analyst, host of the Ross Tucker podcast. He will join us coming up at 9 a.m.
Nice. What happened to his machine that we used to have here?
Ooh, I don't know.
I've already forgotten the name of it.
It's a good question.
Ball cannon? Ball cannon. It broke, remember?
Ball cannon.
Yeah. We had it for, what, 4 years, 5 years? And
so it's in a dumpster somewhere?
Yeah, after we did the live show at the Alamo, I think, in Leesburg, it broke.
Okay. Yeah, never to be heard from again.
Do we have to continue the poker hand?
Yeah, it's crazy game of poker. We've already dealt out the hole cards and the flop. We're not recapping those. We want you to pay attention throughout the hour because we're giving away a great prize. We're giving away front row seats to go see our friends OAR at their homecoming show at Merriweather Post Pavilion on August 26th. So it's now time for you to burn the card deal me the turn card.
Burn it.
Please do.
Where does that come from? Burn it.
It's from Braveheart, of course.
All right. Now the chips are going to start coming in from some wagers.
And by the way, thank you to our friends at Potomac Metals. They're the ones who, the cards that we're using.
Correct.
They're sponsoring Junkies Poker Open 2022 at MGM National Harbor. So your turn card is, ooh, this board's getting kind of spicy. This is the Five of Diamonds is your turn card for those of you playing
along. And don't recap.
At home. I'm not recapping. Right. I'm just looking at the hole cards and the flop that are in front of me, and I'm putting this card over top the. I have the turn, so I can identify everything in front of me. It's not getting mixed up. Your turn card is the five of diamonds.
Do you like your hand? If that was your hand, do you like it?
Wait a second. Do you have different scraps of paper for the hand?
I have your hole card.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Why would you?
I have your flop. Of course, JP. Turn.
He does that at the Cakes Classic.
I know,
Classic,
but why would he just write it down like this?
Because he does it at the Cakes Classic. That's how he does it.
You do your
I'm just curious.
Your card run out your way. This is the way my brain...
Tell him to go make a bet or have a drink.
This is the way my brain processes poker. Mm. This is just the way I do it. Do I like my hole cards with the board that I'm looking
at? Yes, do you like? You likey?
I'm not crazy about it. It's a great opportunity to try to run a bluff, is the way I would put it.
Gotcha.
At this point.
All right. Well, we don't want to give too much away.
I don't think I'm giving away too much information. Here's the information that you do need. We will give away the river card in the next segment. And if you can give us the winning hand and you're the 10th caller with the correct information, you win the front row OAR tickets.
So I don't even know how we started talking about cologne. Jason was a Tommy Bahama guy. I think he maybe mentioned that he had Tommy Bahama, and we started Jonan because... A lot of us associate Tommy Bahama with like 80-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do.
And that's your thing. I see a lot of Tommy Bahama gear, and I'm like, it's pretty nice. Seems pretty nice. Now, I don't own a ton of it. I might own one shirt, but I'm not anti-Tommy Bahama.
It may be my misperception.
Yeah.
Plus, by the way, we're all 51 or 52 years old. I'm 51, so sliding into the Tommy Bahama range, ribbing him. But none of us are really cologne guys.
I used to be.
I'll use cologne... 10 times a year, maybe.
I'm not even that.
If Jess and I are going out on a nice date night, I'll find the cologne.
This would upset Valdez probably greatly. The reason I didn't have my own bottle of cologne to bring in for this bit is because I think I had like a half used bottle of Fierce for some reason. I don't know how I got it. I certainly didn't buy it. It must have been gifted to me. And I did like a bathroom purge and I looked at it and said, well, I never use this. Why am I keeping it? Went into the trash.
Did you ever, during your courting days?
How dare you?
I know, it's quite an offense.
When you were courting Amy Wertheimer at Towson, did you throw on some cologne? Like, when did you stop using it?
No, JP, in college, you have very little discretionary income. At least I did. I didn't have a lot of money for frivolous purchases like cologne. I would use my money to buy beer. Okay.
So you didn't have cologne.
Yeah. So
when was the prime? I know you've never really been a big cologne guy.
Probably like high school.
High school.
Yeah, probably like junior to senior year of high school. Maybe freshman year of college. But for the most part, not a cologne guy.
I kind of remember my first cologne was Polo, the green bottle back in the day. This is the 80s.
All right, we welcome in our guest now. Karina is sitting. She is our celebrity guest judge.
Karina.
Thank you for taking time away from the drive. We do appreciate you coming in.
All right, and we know you don't have that much time.
Hello, Karina.
I'm in a commercial break right now, so we are good to go.
So here's the deal. We have a blindfold for you.
Okay.
All right. This is my daughter's sleep mask. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put it on right now.
Okay.
Before we kind of get to this, we have four different colognes, and we just want to get your, I guess, ratings on each of them.
And initial reaction, too.
Initial reaction, ratings on each of them, and then we'll reveal what they are.
We don't want you to have
any bias beforehand.
When you go on dates, are you expecting your date to be wearing cologne? Is that a prerequisite, or does it happen?
It's not a prerequisite, but I do enjoy when my date smells good.
Can you pick up the difference between like freshly applied deodorant / antiperspirant and cologne? I'm just asking questions here. I need to bounce these off of her.
No, I can't because you know what? Because sometimes that Gillette deodorant, sometimes that smells good.
Right.
Or, I'm not going to lie. I'm not like a very, high sedity.
Or just
type
like a body lotion.
A body lotion. I used to wear
a lot of body lotion. I don't do a lot of cologne.
I used to date someone that wore this sort of like shea butter vanilla situation. And man,
it got you going.
So good. Yeah.
Got her going.
Plus, not only that, it's lotion. Awkward. So it's all over.
Yep.
It's all over the parts. So,
all right. So what we're going to do is we're going to spray
all over the good parts.
We'll spray the cologne on, and you can smell it on the paper.
Okay.
And then you can give your judgment after each one. I have four different colognes down here. You can put your mask on now.
Now, this is a basic rudimentary question. We're just going to be like, this is cologne one. We're not describing.
Correct.
Okay, good. Good.
Okay.
I will do two sprays. When she gets the mask on, I'll reveal which one we're doing to the audience.
All right.
It just makes me chuckle that JP's daughter needs a sleep mask. Like, isn't that usually for like 60-year-olds these
right.
sleep masks?
She's
we've tried everything.
To a soundscape, rainforest soundscape to go to bed.
Trying to think, what is the music right. theme for Valdez?
This is number one.
That smell? Is that
yeah, ooh,
Leonard
that smell. I'm going to give you this piece of paper here.
Well done. Well done.
That's a great here you
go. So Karina okay. is going to smell scent number one.
That was two sprays.
Okay, my initial reaction is... This is spicy and woodsy.
Ooh, look at the terms
it's kinda,
she's using.
It's it has notes of sandalwood. It's giving very old man, old spice vibes.
Spicy, woodsy, old
spicy,
man
woodsy.
Vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is right. like this is like my grandpa's closet.
What? I think she's a cologne expert. She said sandalwood. Like she's getting notes of sandalwood just from a sniff. So that's
right, here's
so this is number one.
Right. I think I'm trying to do them in the order that we put on the poll, not that it matters.
Right.
All right.
All right,
so,
here is number two.
Where?
Spicy. Alright, so here comes
spicy. Whoa.
Sniff number two. This is cologne number two.
Oh. I like this one.
Oh, she likey.
Okay. This one smells very clean. And it's it reminds me of springtime. Mm-hmm. This
reminds you of the Masters?
It smells like
cut grass.
Cut Bermuda. Yeah.
Smells like Tiger Woods.
Azaleas.
Right. It does have a little bit of a flowery scent. It smells very fresh.
All right, that's number two. Right. Here we go to number three.
Trace.
Because I will say,
for the audience
here at work, you know who wears cologne a lot is...
Be Mitch.
Is Chepe.
Oh, Chepe does too?
At El Azul.
Oh, Chepe does.
He's known for other smells too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll smell him in the hot... Like, I'll walk past and I'll be like, oh, he smells good.
Ooh,
here is
good.
Number three.
All right.
Chepe smells like the bathroom.
Yeah, that's usually. What I was going to say.
I love Chepe. You know what?
That's when you see him.
No, I feel bad. I feel bad.
Oh. This is good.
Oh, she's getting like real deep smells on
yeah.
number three.
I'm like, this one is good. I'm not sure of like the first impression that I'm getting, but
mm-hmm.
it's got it has a little bit of a more. It's not sweet like the other one. It's clean.
Mm-hmm.
It's more a little bit more of a musk.
Okay.
I like that.
It's got a clean, musky scent.
She can describe
it.
The scents perfectly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm
doing it like I'm walking past them.
This should be her side hustle. She should be getting a billion views like on TikTok doing cologne reviews.
You
I guess she should be working in Nordstrom.
In between to clear the scent.
Oh, you
okay.
need,
oh, that's
you need
true.
A palate cleanser?
Cakes has plenty of coffee.
Yeah, we got a ton of coffee.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to sniff my coffee mug, you can certainly do that. There is some coffee in there. So.
All right, let's get to number four.
Okay.
All right, so this is the fourth and final scent that Karina will be testing in the cologne challenge. Four different scents brought in by four different junks/producers.
All right.
And we had to get a female perspective on the scents.
Correct.
So this is scent number four.
Oh, that's nice.
It's the third consecutive, oh, that's nice, from Karina.
I love them all, I'm going to be honest.
Except for number one.
We probably should have asked for ratings each time.
Number one was very grandpa Old Spice vibes. But these
she
two.
She can
two
rank
three.
Them. We don't need a okay. we don't need a rating, but she can rank
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready to unveil your rankings?
Yes.
You can start at the bottom.
Hold on. I want the input from number four.
So number four is very light.
Mm-hmm.
It's clean.
Very light.
And it has a little bit of a floral scent, which is I am attracted to with men. I do enjoy that.
Okay.
As opposed to like woodsy, you know what I mean?
Right.
Outdoors scent. Sometimes that's overbearing.
Okay.
All right.
And but this one is kind of this one smells a little bit like low budget, like Axe.
Okay.
You're welcome to take off the mask now.
Now, for a quick recap, there are four scents. The first scent that Karina smelled, she said it was spicy, woodsy, grandpa-like, old man vibes, and she got a hint of sandalwood.
Right. This right, was like your grandpa's cedar closet.
Okay. That one's got to be number four on her list.
So the second scent, she said, I like this one. It's clean, springtime, and flowery. Right. Scent number three.
This one's at the Masters.
Number three, she said, oh, good.
Yeah.
Not sure.
The O face. She got the O face.
She might have. She wasn't sure of the first impression of that scent, but said it was clean and had a musky vibe to it.
And number three was it had a little bit of sweetness.
Some sweetness. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like Jimmy Eat World, Sally.
All right.
And number four, she said, oh, that's nice. Light, clean, floral. Thought it was low budget, though.
All right. Yeah. So now you got to rank them.
Start at the bottom.
Start
last
at
place.
The bottom. I'm not going home with my grandpa. So number one is at the bottom.
All right. So
that is.
We
can reveal. Who do you think wears that cologne?
Oh gosh.
It should be revealed. Actually, these colognes are only worn by Jason, myself, and Valdez, because Cakes brought in his sons.
Well, I don't own any cologne presents.
Honest, well, okay.
Is this last one your son's? Because that was the ass.
Yes, that was his son.
Yeah. Number one was the Tommy?
No.
No. Oh, no. She asked if that was your son.
She was asking if that was your son's.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, she nailed your son's.
Yeah, okay. That one smells like
that one is Tommy.
Body spray.
Got it. Right. That was number four.
Number one was Tommy Bahama. Who wears Tommy Bahama?
You.
Jason Bishop.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, to be fair, I don't ever wear it. I haven't worn it in a long time, but that's what I was wearing a lot, probably 10 years ago.
Okay.
Old man, 42-year-old cologne.
You were grandpa 42.
42.
Happens sometimes.
It does.
Old Spice vibes.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say.
Sandalwood.
Cedar and sandalwood. No.
All right, so that was number four. Number four was Tommy Bahama. What was number three?
Okay, so number three was the second one. The one that, yes, number.
All right, that was mine. That was Acqua di Gio by Armani.
Acqua di Gio by Armani. And I like this one.
That's your favorite?
Yeah.
That was number two, which was Abercrombie and Fitch. Fierce.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, of course you like Abercrombie.
What is that?
So the Axe body spray was number two.
Boys, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Show her the abs.
Is your second favorite the Axe then?
Get her all sized.
No, my second favorite was.
Okay, you confuse it. Your second favorite was the Acqua di Gio.
Yes, my favorite was the
third was the Axe body spray.
Yes.
Third Which was
Tommy. And bringing up the rear, Tommy.
Right.
Tommy Bahama. Yeah.
Tommy.
I mean, she nailed it, though. When we were joning on you saying that it's kind of old man this and you were then defending, she immediately said grandpa.
Yeah. I didn't expect grandpa, but I knew it was older.
And here's the thing about this. Smell this now that it's been on the paper for a little bit and tell me that doesn't smell like wood.
Yeah, it's not great.
It smells like wood. You're gonna cook your salmon on that cedar
wood. It's a
little
different.
It's to keep the moths out.
It's a little different when it's on paper.
I don't know if Karina was such a
I agree. I actually think
expert.
That's...
I mean, when it's on paper...
They convinced me to do it on paper.
If you give a hug to somebody and you smell it, you probably say, oh, well, they smell good.
Just...
When you go to a high-end boutique, they spray it on a paper.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys, with the way that women smell, for perfume, do you prefer just like lotion? Or and like the hair products,
like
or do you
lotion.
Like perfume?
Like
okay.
I like a little perfume, but not overwhelmingly strong.
Are you wearing anything right now?
I'm wearing my body lotion, but I like food smells. So I like to smell sweet.
Valdez likes
so
crab
kind of
smells.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Does
that work? Like
crustaceans?
Old
there?
Bay.
Yeah,
I don't know if I want my women smelling like seafood.
He wants Old Bay perfume.
Yeah, I like the sweet smells on myself. Spicy, sweet, vanillas.
Right.
I kind of like to smell like cookies.
I'd be
that works for me.
I'd be sized to smell you right now.
Miles is taking quite
Jason wants to do the perfume test.
Maybe during the break.
One perfume.
Maybe I'll follow her to the studio.
One contestant.
Jason, remember the stories about Warren Sapp in the workplace.
I'm
just throwing that out there.
I think you got to renew your training, Jason.
Empty threat.
Karina, thank you so much for your input and confirming what we all thought when Jason said he had Tommy Bahama cologne.
You're an amazing
celebrity. You're going to have to step it up.
Fragrance.
I guess I have to.
We appreciate
I got to go
it.
To Abercrombie.
So thank you again, Karina.
We're a bunch of 22-year-old shop.
For sitting right. in. When we come back, we will continue our crazy game of poker. We will give you the river card. If you're keeping track
Love
of it
you.
Throughout the hour, you'll have a chance to win tickets to go see OAR live in concert. Oh, in the front row, too. About 5 minutes from now, we will deal the river card in the crazy game of poker. If you have the winning hand, if you can tell us the winning hand, be the 10th caller when you're prompted, and you could win front row tickets to go see OAR in concert on August 26th at Merriweather Post Pavilion. So keep listening for your chance to win. It's time now for QB Quarter Of. We get you up to date with the latest news from the most important position in the most important sport on the planet. And I'm counting soccer, too. Sorry, Europeans. NFL football is king. Earlier this year, the Broncos traded for quarterback Russell Wilson. Unlike Deshaun Watson, Wilson did not get a new contract in his way through the door of the Broncos complex. On Thursday, the new CEO, Greg Penner, must be nice to be the son-in-law of the primary owner, the new owner, Rob Walton. He was asked about plans for a long-term deal with Wilson. His quotes, first of all, we couldn't have been more excited as we were going through the process to see that the organization had made the trade for Russell. It's critical to have a great quarterback in this league, and coming in this organization with Russell in place is a tremendous benefit for us. I can't wait to see him on the field. I don't know how much we will see of him on the field on Saturday, but we're looking forward to it. At this point, nothing to say about his contract.
He's got 2 years left. He's got this year at 19, and he's got next year at 22, I believe. He, according to all reports, he wants a five-year deal of $250 million. That's what he wants.
Well, I mean, that would put him in line with other top quarterbacks in the league. Like, if you're Russell Wilson, that's the sort of money that you should be asking for.
Yep.
And that he will probably ultimately get. But no plans as of right now for a new contract for Russell Wilson, but that could change going forward.
His current annual value ranks about 8 amongst all quarterbacks.
Yeah. The Browns announced that they plan to start Deshaun Watson in the preseason opener at Jacksonville on Friday. It's now up to appeals officer Peter Harvey to determine if that will happen.
Peter!
The NFL wants an immediate suspension of Watson. The NFLPA hasn't ruled out the possibility as both sides wait for a ruling from Harvey. He could make his decision in the next 2 days and bar Watson from playing in the preseason.
Just as a sports fan, an NFL fan, I don't even care about Deshaun Watson and the Browns. I don't care. I really don't care. I just want it to be done. I'm tired of hearing all the reports.
Right.
I just want the suspension to be handed down, done, get over it.
Of course.
And let's just move on.
If you're Stefanski, though, you know you're going to miss him for minimum 6 games.
Right.
Right? Unless somehow, when they do the appeal, he gets less games.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you play him the whole game? Like, play him more series because he's going to be away from the team and not get work for so long.
Well, first and foremost.
I mean, because you're going to have backups blocking for him. And I don't know if that's
okay. Why would you expose the guy that you just gave $230 million guaranteed dollars to?
Just get him some work now.
Well, he's going to get work, but with the starters.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to. You don't want him, you know, under center with a guy who's not going to make the team.
You also got to get Jacoby ready because he's going to be
Jacoby's got to get ready.
That's true. Yeah.
Got to have him ready for at least at minimum.
Unless you're from you know what? Maybe even get Josh Rosen ready. Well, just saying.
That's funny. Josh Rosen.
What a bust he's been.
I mean,
but look, it happens every year. Quarterbacks get overdrafted in every single draft. I mean, I'm a little surprised Josh Rosen's been a flop, but it's not that surprising. It happens all the time.
But to get back to it, I mean, Deshaun, we'll probably find out by, I don't know if it'll be this weekend, but early next week, what that final suspension will be.
Yeah.
And you guys would bet on more than six games.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I would bet on that.
I mean, they want a year.
They do want a year.
We heard some reports from sources that they at one point were negotiating between 10 games and 9 games and couldn't come to some sort of settlement.
If he was suspended for another year, so it would be 2 full years. That's 33 games he's missed. Actually, no, it's 34.
It's a lot of games missed.
Can he get back to where he was?
That's maybe. One of the things that impressed me.
Remember, he's going to be playing in Cleveland now.
Remember,
right, the weather ain't great in Cleveland.
Right, nope. But one of the things that impressed me about Deshaun, it was those viral clips of him breaking down plays. Mm-hmm. Like, he's known for his athleticism, and he's put up really good numbers, but I think he knows the game really, really well. So I think he'd be able to get it back. How many years did Peyton miss with the neck? A year or two? Then came back with Denver.
I know Vic missed a couple, obviously.
I think Peyton might have just missed one, but, yeah, know, but guys Peyton, will miss a year.
I know, but Peyton's just naturally better. So I know
yeah, he's but he came come. Back with... you know, with the neck injury, and
yeah,
there were questions about whether he could throw the ball.
I just think there's going to be a huge rust factor for a guy who hadn't played in 2 years.
Right.
But maybe I'm wrong.
Jason, it's time to continue the crazy game of poker. We're about to deal out the final card. That is the river card for those of you not steeped in poker jargon. When you see the river card, be the 10th caller with the correct winning hand or hear it. Mm-hmm. And you will win front row seats to go see OAR in concert at Merriweather Post August 26th. If you don't win the tickets, you can buy them now at Ticketmaster.com.
Are we going to do the same contest and give away seats to the JPO? We used to do that.
I don't know. Oh. I guess we'll figure that out as we get closer to the event.
You seem flummoxed by that. All right.
I'm good.
Ready? Burn it.
Burn card. Here comes your river card.
Look what just fell.
Oh, let's see here. Let me
look
see.
What just fell.
Oh, let me see this
let
hand.
Me see?
No, you can't see. Because you're no fun.
I'll show JP the hand. Your river card is the 8 of spades.
Oh, I see.
8 of spades is your river card, completing the crazy game of poker that we're playing for OAR front row seats. Mm-hmm. So if you have the winning hand, call us right now at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. 10th caller with the correct winning hand is going to win front row seats. It's that easy. It's that simple.
Cakes loves his hand.
I'm reading the board. I'm trying to figure out the winning hand right now.
Feels like that hand would be, if a bunch of people were playing, you'd end up chopping the pot.
Maybe.
Yeah, potentially.
Maybe. We'll see.
You wish
what the other guy has.
You wish you had some of the community cards in your whole card.
Correct.
If you know what I'm saying.
Correct.
800-636-1067. 10th caller with the correct winning hand is going to go to see OAR. Crank out the hits.
Here they come.
In late August.
Here come the callers.
People are just desperate.
Grasping for the OAR ticks.
Desperate P1 prize pigs /OAR marks.
Mm-hmm.
Want to win this prize. Now I need to write down the winning hand so I remember it when they say it. Got it.
All right, here we go. We're going to get to caller 10 right now. We got to do it before the break.
Right.
By the way, we've got Ross Tucker at 9. Love Ross Tucker.
Ross Tucker, yes. Talk all things NFL.
Yes, love Ross.
It's all ex-Redskins day.
It is, yeah.
Because we had Doring on earlier, and then Ross Tucker coming up next.
Let's go to Steve. He is caller number 10 on line 2. Steve, do you have the winning poker hand for the front row OAR tickets?
Hopefully. Is it two pairs? A pair of nines and a pair of eights.
That is correct. That is your winning hand.
Ding,
it's
ding, ding,
eights
ding.
And nines with a 10 kicker, which is one of your hold cards. So that is your winning hand, two pair. So he is going to win that pair of tickets to Front Row, OAR, and Dispatch Summer Tour 2022, Friday, August 26th at Merriweather Post Pavilion. And Steve is now entered for a chance to win two passes to the sound check as well. Tickets are on sale. Buy them now at Ticketmaster.com.
Being a rock star is amazing. Do you think you could handle the life for just one tour?
Ooh.
One tour of you traveling from city to city. I can't remember where OAR was recently, but they're bouncing all across the
country.
At
my age, no.
I think they were in Columbus, Ohio recently, right. I just saw.
Because how can you go to sleep at 7:30 and then also go on stage and perform for
well,
2 hours?
Your hours would change.
Yeah, your hours would be completely
flip-flopped. It just can't happen. Not for me. Maybe you guys can pull
I think
it.
I
you don't
hand-
go to bed until midnight anyway, so you're good.
Now, it also depends on the length of the tour. I mean, are we talking about a...
30 cities.
30 cities? Okay, with off days, you're probably doing 30 cities in 60 to 65 days,
I was gonna
roughly.
Say, I was gonna
they
say
look like they're having a blast. I see pictures of those guys on Instagram and stuff. They look like they're having a blast on this tour.
I'm sure they are. They also are getting
they're
fat
gonna hit
with
Ocean
cash.
City.
That's right.
Their bank accounts are swole. They look like Mike Tyson's face.
By the way, speaking of swole bank accounts and touring and merch, mm-hmm. did you see that Travis Scott, when he did a tour stop in London a few days ago, I think we were last week, he made $1 million at the merch table for one show.
Incredible.
Just selling T-shirts and whatever, you know, I'm sure hoodies or T-shirts. I don't know if they even do tour programs these days. They probably, I don't know, but... His merch table, his merch setup brought in $1 million for one show.
One show.
Just one.
Right. Just think about it, he does 50 shows.
I'm not saying OAR is going to do that at Merriweather Post. I'm sure
they might not get a mill, but they're going to make good money.
I'm sure they do very well with their merch setup. They put out really good merch. $1 million in one show is pretty solid. That's a nice haul by Travis
Scott.
All right,
so we'll be doing more poker hands down the road.
I'm sure we will. And when we come back, we'll be joined by NFL analyst, host of the Ross Tucker podcast. Ross Tucker joins us next on The Fan.